Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Chat Talent People podcast. My name is Jeremy Russ, and I'm the co-host of the show. Today, I was really lucky to be joined by Lucy Williams. Lucy's a real breath of fresh air in our industry and a real passion for delivering value in a TA perspective. But more importantly, in many ways for me, there's also a twist to her. She runs a hospitality startup. So we talked today about a number of things around international hiring, around Brexit and all that sort of crap. But really, what was really interesting to me was the portfolio career that she has, even though I had to explain to her what a portfolio career was. But anyway, have a listen. Hope you enjoy. Thanks.
Please take your seats. This evening's performance is about to begin.
Right, welcome to the next edition of the Chat Talent People podcast. You've got me, Jeremy, again, which I know is an absolute pleasure for you. Alan will be back in the next few days, so he'll take the reins for the next one, hopefully. Today, we're delighted to welcome Lucy Williams. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. We got there in the end. We had a couple of cancellations, and then a power cut yesterday at your end that obviously put a kibosh on us talking yesterday. But it's great to finally get you on here. I'm going to hand over to you, really, Lucy, because like, you're Lucy Williams. We kind of know each other. We've chatted a little bit, but it'd be really great for our audience to get to know you and what, you know, what you do, what you've done in your career, what you're passionate about. And so really just, yeah, over to you, Lucy Williams.
Sure. Okay. I can talk a lot, so feel free to cut me off at any point. I'll start with, I guess, how I got into recruitment. I actually, I trained to be a stockbroker for about a year.
Okay.
And I realised that wasn't really for me and tried a few different career opportunities through a temp agency and then just accidentally landed into a company called Pertemps. I was based on site looking after temp staff, and that then evolved. A friend reached out to me. She had joined an international recruitment company. She just come back from a trip to Australia and said, come and join, it's great, you get to travel. So I was like, fine, I did. And within 6 months, they sent me to Dubai for a month.
And this was RPI, wasn't it?
This is RPI, yes. Yeah. So we were.
Do you know Alex Lloyd?
I do, yes. Well, I did. Yeah, he was in the Dubai office for a little while. Yeah.
Yeah, Alex worked for me for immediately before going to Dubai. And as you said, I thought, there we go. Small world. It is a small world. Yes, indeed. Anyway, back to you.
I went there for a month, came back, didn't like it. They asked me to move out there permanently. I said no for about 3 months. And then eventually went with the attitude that I'll go for a couple of months and I'll be back. But I stayed there for 12 and a half years with RP, and then I moved over to Connexa onto a RPO project with HSBC, did that for 18 months, and then moved over to Visa, where I spent 7.5 years. So I joined Visa at a time when we were really building out the TA function locally and globally. It was a small Middle East Africa region. And then we grew that to Central Europe, Middle East and Africa. And then I got to the point where after 12 and a half years in one country, I really wanted to change. I didn't know what I wanted to do, whether I wanted to stay in TA or not. So I made the decision to take a year off and travel and have my temporary retirement, as I called it, quite smugly at the time. Glad I did it last year, not this year, that's for sure.
Yes.
It's been disappointing.
Yeah.
I was due to move back to the UK in March, and then that got derailed. So I was I stayed in Dubai until June this year, and then relocated back. And here I am in the UK now, looking for my next career opportunity, whilst also working on a hospitality startup.
Yeah, I'm going to come into that in a second. I just want to jump back a little bit to the move from sort of what I'm going to loosely call it agency side into via RPO into in-house. Do you think there's a difference in the roles?
I do, yeah. And I think I was quite fortunate, because I think if you're going to the RPO was a nice bridge between agency to in-house, because it can be quite a shock and it's not for everybody. I think the working on an RPO implementation was great, because you still needed that agency experience where you just need to fill kind of volume hires for the client in a short space of time, whilst also working on the recruitment strategy once you're on site. So that was a great opportunity. But I do think there is a huge difference in roles.
Yeah, I think it's also the mindset. If you your agency side, you're working for an employer to essentially place your best candidate into a client. On the company side, you're, in theory, it doesn't always apply like this. In theory, your role is to find the best candidate from that role, regardless of channel.
Yes.
I think it's just a very different mindset.
It is, and you're looking. I mean, once you're in-house, you're then also looking at internal talent as well. They're just,
exactly.
I feel there's just so much more to the role. But like I said, it's not for everybody. I know people on the agency side, they've been doing it for 20 years and they swear they'll never go in-house.
Never go in-house.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Working for one client, albeit there may be hundreds of hiring managers that you're working for, but working for one client, no, you're right, isn't for everyone. Some people just like the perceived variety of lots of different clients, maybe even lots of different industries, lots of different companies. Yes. So, yeah, no, I completely get that. So you've obviously done some fantastic stuff around the international hiring space. And I'm going to come on to your portfolio career, shall we call it? So doing something very different in a minute. But talk a little bit about sort of how you saw the international hiring. Well, firstly, what we mean by international hiring. Let's clear that one up in a second. But also, what are the greatest challenges of that sort of world and how they've changed over the years? So what do we mean by it, I guess, really? Because it's probably misused sometimes.
Yeah, I think there are different ways to look at it. For me, from a recruitment perspective, when I'm thinking of international hiring, it's hiring candidates across borders. So you have your local talent and then you have your international talent. If I think back to 10, 20 years ago, it was mainly fulfilled by contractors. So you would have, I don't know, engineers, for example, that would work on 6-month projects globally. You'd have a few executives that would travel globally, but it wasn't as it is today. And I don't think companies were as open to it back then. I think where it's getting easier is countries opening up, allowing for foreign nationals work permits. I say it's getting easier.
Yeah.
It's also getting harder if I think about the UK and Brexit.
Yeah.
But if we look at emerging markets, which is predominantly what I've been looking at over the last few years, they are starting to open up now. I think when companies are doing international hiring, they need to look at why are they hiring internationally. If it's because you don't have the skill set locally, then absolutely it makes sense. But I think you also need to focus on upskilling your local talent as well. There needs to be a balance there. And I think also historically, a lot of companies had international talent programs where they would move executives around, you know, on different projects. It's very, very costly. And I think more and more companies are moving away from that now, realizing, well, actually, why are we doing them on a very expensive assignment when we can just localize somebody instead?
Okay. And do you see, although you've not necessarily recruited during it, but do you see the impact of COVID changing all that again and the potential move towards remote first and these sorts of things? Will it change the face of international recruitment, do you think?
I think it will, because I think mainly because companies are realising that you can be productive whilst working remotely. There's a lot of micromanagers out there and a lot of companies that weren't set up for remote workers. It isn't new. If you look in the US, it's a hugely popular thing to have remote workers. In some markets, it is still new. So I think as companies get their head around it and they start to plan for how do we make this work for individuals, then they are going to open up to, you know, if they aren't able to get a work permit for somebody, well, that's okay. They can actually work remotely. But as with everything, there needs to be that balance. You need to have the right tools in place to make sure that they actually feel part of the team and they're fully integrated. But I also don't think it's for everybody, and I don't think it's for every role. You can't walk into a shop and have somebody on Zoom telling you more about the product.
There is that. There are robots, of course, but that's a conversation.
Another conversation.
Yeah, absolutely different, completely different conversation. So in terms of the sort of the concept of remote, do you think companies fully understand the real benefits around opening up a completely different talent pool?
I can't speak for every company. I don't think everybody's there yet in understanding the benefits. There are companies that have been doing this for years, and I think there are companies that really that are starting to look at it, but trying to figure out how to make it work. And I touched upon that earlier. It's having everything in place, really, because it's not as simple to say, you know, that we've got a candidate in Brazil and the team are based in Spain, because you've got time zones to consider as well. You need to think about how is that going to work. You still need to maintain that work-life balance within it. But I think the other side, so I'm just turning the question a little bit, the other side is also for candidates that work that aren't mobile can now be mobile, if that makes sense. They, you know, for whatever reason, they aren't able to leave their home country. But there's great opportunities outside of their country. They can now explore those. So there's definitely huge advantages to it. I just don't think it's as simple to say, right, let's just start hiring everybody remotely across borders.
You touched on some of the key points there, and it is literally, there is a big cultural piece as well, isn't there? Mm-hmm. That, as you said, in some countries, that it's just not something that happens yet. And it is a big yet, but... Mm-hmm. So let's flip back to the whole travel piece and you know your semi-retirement, I think you called it. And then this is kind of the beginning of this year, absolute change in direction. And it sounds like it was more of an opportunistic thing. But tell us a little bit about something which is very true at the moment, which is the startup We All Need a Holiday. Tell about that and how you came into that.
Yeah, sure. So my friend's got 20 years hospitality experience. She's naturally quite entrepreneurial. She was actually consulting with another startup. She was looking for holiday competitions, realised that there wasn't really a lot out there. Everything was a bit doomy and gloomy with this was around January, February time when we didn't really know what was happening with the world. So she just started sharing holiday competitions. That then evolved into, well, hold a minute, why don't we start hosting holiday competitions? Because hospitality industry needs support. So we can help market their properties and then we can also get the feel-good factor out there for people to be able to go and take a staycation in the UK or travel internationally as and when, with more of a 2021 focus. And then as I got grounded in Dubai, I was looking for something to do outside of my webinars and what have you and my job search. So she asked me to come on board and just help out on a few bits and pieces. And then it just evolved, really. So that's now my full-time role, which has been super interesting, different industry, completely different pace. What started as, you know, can you come and help with the strategy is now, you know, business development, social media marketing. It's a bit of everything I hadn't done before.
And it's something that a lot of people are looking at now, this whole concept of portfolio careers. So do you think you'll stay in touch with We All Need a Holiday? Will you still be involved in it, even when you get that next job? Because it sounds like a really interesting little venture.
Oh, absolutely! It will always be part of my life. It's so much fun. It's a great venture. It's so nice. We post winners every Monday. So we launch a competition on a Wednesday, and we post the winner on a Monday. And just getting that the feedback from the winner, just to know that we made their Monday, is so great. Especially when everything's a bit gloomy at the moment, as I said before. And I think it's something I'll always be involved in and always be passionate about. And it's just given me some great experience that I don't think I'll ever get in my normal day job. It's something that I'll always want to be plugged into.
And actually, that very nicely segues into my next question, which was, it's almost going to, I'm going to reverse it afterwards, but what did you take from your TA career into We All Need a Holiday that you think has been beneficial? And similarly, as you go into your should we call it the second stage of your TA career, what do you think you'll be bringing from We All Need a Holiday that you've learned? So the first one first, what did you take in?
That's a good question. I think structure and process. And I definitely learned that at Visa, being a huge organisation. You have to add structure to what you're doing. Data as well. I mean, up until about 5 years ago, data really didn't mean much to me, but I'm realizing now the power of using data when trying to get clients on board, which in the same way as I would use data to try and get budget or headcount or anything else from a stakeholder at Visa. So that's definitely, I think, two key things that I'll take across there, as well as the relationship management side. And I think coming from We All Need a Holiday as a startup, going into a new TA role, I think you need to be really resilient, quite persistent and very passionate as well. I think it's not to say that I didn't have those skills already, but actually I'll add another one on that, more agile as well, because like I said, my whole aim at first was to help with the strategy, and then one day I'll be business developing, the next day I'll be doing a social media post, and all of a sudden we'll get a new client come on board, so I need to scrap that and start this and change this. And these are all things that, you know, you really need to stay client focused whilst also being agile and being quite flexible with the unknown. You just don't know what's going to come in. Last night at 10 o'clock I got an email to say, yes, we'll work with you. I was expecting that email on a Tuesday so that I can plan on the Wednesday. You know, it's all the thing.
You just have to be much more flexible in your approach, don't you? I suspect it's actually in many ways the best of both worlds, the experience that you've had with the, as you say, you know, not just a large company, but a large financial services company as well. So actually the processes and the structures are even more rigid and formalised. So I used to work for AXA, so I'm to kind of know the industry. It is very challenging at times. It's really interesting listening to your story about We All Need a Holiday, because clearly you were lucky that you got the opportunity at a point in time where you could take it. There's lots of TA people and HR people more generally who, of course, are at the moment are finding themselves out of work through absolutely no fault of their own, and you know there's a lot of people struggling and panicking. What would you say to them from your experience of looking at the startup world when it's not something you're used to? What would your thoughts be if someone asked you that question? Should I look at that?
I think absolutely for anybody, if you can get some experience in a startup, really hands-on experience, then go for it, because it does test you. It does pull out some of those soft skills that you might not have been so aware of before. But I also appreciate that it's not as easy to say, oh sure, just go find a startup to work with. If you're on furlough, you've got the time and your company don't mind, then do go. You know, if there's a business that you're passionate about, then do reach out. How can you help out? I think in times like this, people, especially recruiters, I think we need to remind ourselves, I don't know any recruiter, and please correct me if you do here, that left school thinking, I can't wait to get into recruitment. You know, we all have passions and other hobbies outside of that. So I think when you're looking to do something different, I think you really need to play to your passions, especially in a startup environment. If you're not passionate about it, it's hard work, and it can destroy you if you don't enjoy it. So I think start there. I think anybody looking to do a career change, do some research, talk to people in that industry who had that experience, do some short courses. There's so much available right now. And there's, you know, companies are doing some great things, understanding that everybody's in a very difficult situation. Take advantage of that.
And what is a natural step if you were, you know, if you didn't want to look at the startup world, but you're coming out of TA and thinking, right, now's the time to do something differently. Do you think there is a natural step for a TA person, you know, whether that's within HR or outside, and what sort of skills does our background suit in terms of other roles?
Yeah, I think some obvious ones are, you know, sales, coaching, moving from TA into HR generalist or HR specialist roles. But I think it does come back to you as an individual, because recruiters are different. You know, you might have a recruiter who's really good on the social media side. You know, that's part of their role. Yeah. Then get into a social media marketing position. That could be a nice, obvious one for them. You know, I think as a recruiter, you need to be quite consultative. You need to be problem solving. You should have really good business acumen. So I think just really take a step back, think about what it is that you really enjoy about being a recruiter. What are you really good at within your recruitment role? Maybe you're a researcher and you enjoy it and you're good at it. There's plenty of research companies out there. Go and approach them. I think it's more about doing a kind of a soft skills assessment on yourself and then thinking about what roles are out there. And I actually had a conversation with somebody yesterday, not a recruiter, but they were looking to get into an IT role is what they said. Yeah. And they didn't know how to do it. So they don't have the skills. So I said, well, first of all, see what companies are hiring. You know all of the tech companies, go on their career site, see what roles they've got. What seems to be a really popular, a hard to fill role at the moment within tech, see what courses there are available, how long is it going to take you to retrain, and just get connected with people doing that job to find out a bit more about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of the, sort of boot camps seem to be doing a lot of good business at the moment. They were before COVID. There were people just looking and saying, actually, clearly tech is where I need to be moving. A finance manager is one thing. A finance manager with technology skills, development skills, is a completely different kettle of fish. Yeah. So it's great. Just on that, have you ever thought about career consulting yourself, career coaching? Because that sounds like some really good advice there.
I do it informally with people. It is something. If I wasn't working on a startup, then I would be doing more coaching training. It is another avenue. If anybody's listening to this and they want some advice, please feel free to reach out to me. I love helping people, but maybe one day.
And I guess it's something that will come naturally to you in your next role. So let's just sort of think about you, Lucy. The tremendous experience you've had in genuinely international recruitment roles. You've developed a certain set of skills there. You've then gone and actually spent a period of time traveling as well. So you developed different skills there. Mm-hmm. And you've then gone and helped to build a startup, and you've delivered a very different set of skills there and developed a very different set of skills there. So it seems to me that there's an employer out there that would be missing something if they didn't talk to you, if I'm honest. So look, without being pitchy, what does your next role, what does it look like? What does the company look like? What's going to make you go, that's where I want to go?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's more about the company than the role itself. I think I've been very fortunate to have a very broad TA role, and I've crossed into parts of HR as well. But for me, it's all about the company and the culture. I've worked across different regions with different cultures, and I'm really keen to get into a company that has that kind of global view, that really does not just talk about inclusion and diversity as something they need to do, but something they're actually doing. And just nice people. I don't have an ego. I don't have a lot of tolerance for arrogance. I think we're all, when you're working for a company, you all have, without sounding too cheesy, you've all got the same goal, right? You want the company to be successful and we need to work together. So when I'm talking to companies, I'm very much about the people and the culture. How do they develop people? How do they view talent acquisition as a function as well? Are they invested in it? Is it just another, another corporate function that they need to have, but, just put a bottom on a seat as such? So these are all the things that I look at, as I said, more than the actual role itself.
And location, presumably not an issue. You're quite happy remote working?
Yeah, I'm remote working, relocation. It's weird being back in the UK, especially with winter coming.
I can imagine.
It's not to say that I want to go back to the Middle East. I'm actually focusing on my search on Europe. I'm very flexible with location.
Excellent. Lucy, I've got to be honest, everything you said there, from what I've gleaned from talking to you, is absolutely, it sounds like you know yourself really well, and you know what you can offer to a great employer. So hopefully if there's anyone out there listening, they can get in touch with you through obviously through LinkedIn or through ourselves. We'll connect you. But It's been really interesting talking to you today. Really enjoyed the mix of sort of TA and startup, which is obviously our background, myself and Alan's. So thank you for that. And really, just before we close, very, very best of luck in your search. There's the right company out there for you because you're the right person for them.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. I've really, really enjoyed it. Great questions. And thank you for giving me the time.
Not a problem at all. Best of luck, Lucy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And you. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Head over to chattalent.com for more blogs, vlogs, webinars, and other great content about HR, talent, and recruiting. Everything you could possibly need. Enjoy.